We are beginning in Gemara Psachim, Daf Hey, Amid Beis. We know that we have two psukim which identify the Isser of possessing chametz on Pesach. Those two psukim are Shivas Yamim Se'or Le'yimatzei Bevateichem, and number two, the pasuk of La'yira Elecha Se'or. The question is, why do we need both of these psukim? So the Gemara answers, we need La'yira to teach us. Shelcha Yatareya, Aval Tareya Shalacherim. And we need La'yimatzei to teach us that you can't have chametz in your possession that belongs to a guy, even if the guy hides it. So we end up having two Isurim. Number one, the Isur of Bal Yirah, and number two, the Isur of Bal Yimatze. The key criteria for Bal Yimatze is Achrayas, responsibility for an item in the event that you lose it. So if it's the kind of thing that a person carefully monitors because he knows that if he loses it, he'll have to pay, that item, if it's Chametz, and if it's held in his Rishus on Pesach, would create an Isur of Bal Yimatze. The Gemara brings an example to illustrate. People used to have non-Jewish soldiers from the army who stayed by them in their houses. Now, these people knew that if anything belonged to the soldiers was lost, whether it be food or guns, they would have to pay for it. In other words, they had an achrayas to make sure it didn't get lost. Therefore, Rava told them, "Be'iru chamira de'bnei chila, destroy the chametz that belongs to the soldiers in your houses. Because if you don't, since you're responsible for that food, by not destroying it, you'll be over on Bal Yimatze." This is good only according to the Man D'Yomar, who is Reb Shimon, who holds Davar HaGarem L'Mamon is K'mamon Dami. The presence of an object saves a person from a chiyuv of tashlumin, even if it doesn't actually belong to him. So we consider the item like being in his rishus. But according to the Rabbanan who holds davar agam l'mamon is lav kamam and dami, how are you chayav for la yimatze? So the Gemara answers, that's what the pasuk is for. The special pasuk of la yimatze teaches you that we're chayav in this kind of a case. Dafav. We all know the chiyuv of bukhar behema is only if the animal belongs to a Jew. So the question is there a chiyuv of bukhar behema? If a Jew has a herd of behemoths, that he has a chiyuv to give some of the behemoths to the king as a tax. In other words, the herd is partially b'shutfis hagai. So we answer, since the Jew has no other option here, he becomes a shutuf with the guy. And therefore, since it's b'shutfis hagai, we have a special patur of b'char behema, since he's b'shutfis hagai. We contrast this, though, for example, with challah. Challah, we say, it's always chayev, irregardless of whether it's a shutfis hagai, not a shutfis hagai. Normally, we know that challah is only chayev if it's a Jew. But if there's b'shut fasagai, chala you're chayev in anyway. Then the Gemara says, if a guy brings chametz into a Jew's house, and the Jew is yichud lai bayis, in other words, the Jew sets aside special place for it, as long as the Jew wasn't makabel achrayas, he's not chayev for bal yimatze. Omarav, hamaitze chametz bebeisei b'yantiv. If a person finds chametz in his house on yantiv, kaifelav esakli. He's supposed to cover it up with a kli. Rashi here says that there's really no problem of Bal Yimatze. We would have a Hamni if there's a problem of Bal Yimatze. We say that there's no problem here because since before Yantav he was Mevatalit, therefore he can be over on Bal Yimatze. Taisvis here says, even if he wasn't Mevatalit before Yantav, there's still no heter to pick it up on Yantav because there is a Muktza Machmas Isser. We know that since this is a Dvar Isser, since it's Chametz, it becomes Muktza Machmas Isser. We know from the Gemara in Shabbos that Muktza Machmas Isser is Osir to be Metaltel on Shabbos or on Yantav. Therefore, he has to kaifa alav esakali, and after, on chalamayid, that's when he burns it. Amar Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rav, hayoytzei b'shiyara kaidim shleishim yoyim, ein zakuk levar. If a person goes on a trip before 30 days before Pesach, he does not have to make beer. Taich shleishim yoyim, zakuk levar. If he goes out the city within 30 days before Pesach, then he does have to make beer. And here we have a machlekes between Abaya and Rava. Abaya says, if he goes within 30 days, you only need beer if you're going to be returning on Pesach. Rava says, before 30 days, you're only potter if you won't be returning on Pesach. But if you go within 30 days, you have to make a beer, irregardless of the situation. Today we paskin, within 30 days, you are mechuyev to make a bedikah. The aside here is that the mitzvah of tashbisu is chal from within 30 days of Pesach and closer. Now, there is an exception to this. Even if you leave, let's say, 200 days before Pesach, however, if you know you're going to come back on Pesach, it doesn't matter when you leave. The fact of the matter is, if you know you're going to return on Pesach, you have to make a bedika and a beer even way, way, way before Pesach if you know you're going to be returning to your particular house on Pesach. Now, what's the significance of 30 days? We have a braisa that we bring down a machlekes between the Tanakhama and Reb Shimon ben Gamliel. According to the Tanakhama, we say, Shayalin v'darshin v'hilchas ha-Pesach, kaidim ha-Pesach shleishim yoyim. The Tanakhama learns that you're mechuyev to be Dairish of the Hilchas Pesach. In other words, this is where the whole idea of checking before 30 days comes from. And he learns this from Pesach Sheni. We know that we have a Tzivoy. The Tzivoy of Pesach Sheni came on Yedalad Nisan. for Achiev 30 days later on Pesach Sheni. However, Reb Shimon ben Gamliel says, Shailin v'darshin, the Chiev only comes 2 weeks before Pesach. How does he know this? Because the mitzvah of Karban Pesach was announced on Rosh Chodesh Nisan. This was 2 weeks before Pesach. We see this in Bamidbar, Perek Tes, that's where the Chiev came from, and it came on Rosh Chodesh. Therefore, it was 2 weeks before. Therefore, the Chiev of Shailin v'darshin is only 2 weeks before. And therefore, this Indian of 30 days doesn't apply, but it's only a question of 2 weeks. It's interesting that the Mishnah Brura in Siman Tof Chaf Tes brings a whole drasha here and a whole discussion of whether this chiyuv of 30 days also applies to other Yamim Tayyim, especially Shavuos, for example. Then we say, Ein Muktam Uchar Batayra. Rav Papa says this. There is really no rhyme or reason necessarily to the order of how things are brought in the Torah. And the Gemara says, this is only true if we're talking about two different parshias. However, if there are two Inyanim in one particular parsha, then we say that it isn't the correct order, and we do not say Ein Muktam Uchar Batayra. What you see is exactly what you get in the right particular order. This is true, since if we would say Ein Muktam Uchar Batayra even within the same parsha, then we may have Shailin and Halacha, because what happens with a Klal Uprat? We know we paskin certain halachas due to a Klal, and then a Prat comes along and is coming to be Mamayit from the Klal. But now if you change the order around, this Klal Uprat becomes a Prat Uklal, and there are different Afkaminas and Halacha between a Klal Uprat and a Prat Uklal. Therefore, we say within a particular parsha, we do not say in muktam u'muchar batara. Amar Rabbi Yehuda Amarav, habaydek tzarech sheyivatel. Now, why is it that a person who does bedika also has to make bittul too? Why is it that you need both of these? Amar Rava, gzera shema yibtza gluska yafa v'daytela. We're afraid that maybe a person is going to find a nice hush of a piece of bread. He's going to have a desire to eat this piece of bread or to keep this piece of bread because it's a very nice piece of bread, and he'll come to be over on the Isser of Bal Yirah, Bal Yimatzah. The Amar Rebbe Lazar, and we say Rebbe Lazar says two halachas. Shtei devarim, he says one halacha, which includes two things. Shnei devarim, einan virshusai shal adam, v'asan hakasav ki'ilu virshusai. There are two items which are not in the rishus of a person, but we say, min ha-taira, it's considered like they are in his rishus as far as responsibilities go. What are those two things? The Eluhain, bar v'rishus harabim, v'chametz mishay shaos ulamayla. Bar v'rishus harabim, if a person digs a bar in a rishus harabim, even though the rishus harabim doesn't belong to him, the fact is if somebody gets hurt in that bar, he's mechoyif. And chametz from 6 hours on, even though a person really doesn't belong to him, but the fact of the matter is it's considered as if it does belong to him. Daf Zayin. There is an issur d'rabbanan that the 6th hour is considered just like what is past the 6 hours. This is the Rabbanan. We know midaraisa, the issur achila and hana and chametz is only from chatzais and on, from 6 hours and afterwards. However, there's an issur d'rabbanan even before that there is an issur. What does this constitute exactly, this particular issur d'rabbanan? What this is included in a person is mechuyev, and a person is not allowed to get hana from chametz in that 6th hour. Midrabbanan. And not only that, a person now has no reshus on his chametz anymore. In other words, he can't be mevatelin anymore at all from that point and on. Midaraisa from chatzais, and midrabbanan even before chatzais. So in other words, what it comes down to is this particular rabbanan time is equal to a daraisa. How do we know this? We see that if a man is mekadish a woman with chite kurdenaisa in the 6th hour, which is midrabbanan aser, it's not considered a good kedusha. Then the Gemara says, if we find money in Yerushalayim during the Zman Aliyah L'Regel, since they used to clean the streets of Yerushalayim every day, you can assume that the money is fresh, and therefore it is Maaser Sheni money. We then say, HaBoidek Tzarech Sheyivarech. A person who makes a bedika has to make a bracha on the bedika, but a special bracha. What exactly is the bracha that he makes when he does the bedika? There's a machlik. Rav Papi Mashmei Adarava says he makes the bracha of Levayer Chametz. And Rav Papa Shmei Adarava says he makes the bracha Al Bir Chametz. The machlik is here is if Al Bir implies past or future. We know that a bracha a person has to make to imply the future. The question is if Al Bir can imply the future, or maybe it only implies the past. And the Gemara tries bringing a number of different rayas about things that are brachas that are made in advance of something, and they're speaking about the future. Al hashchit, al hamila. The Hilchasam, we paskin, that we make the bracha asher kedushanu b'mitzvaytza b'tzivanu al bir chametz and not levayer chametz. Here we have an interesting meiri that asks, why is it that we make al bir chametz at the time of the bedika. Why don't we make the bracha at the time of the beer itself? And the Meiri answers that the bracha is made at the time of the bedika because this is considered to be the beginning of the burning process. The reason that one may begin to make this bracha on the night of the 14th of Nisan at this particular point is because at that time there is already an obligation to begin burning the chametz. Let's say one searches for the chametz before the 14th. In other words, Bizman Hazeh. Let's say a person is living in one city and he's going to visit, say, his parents in another city and he leaves a week before Pesach. Since a week before Pesach, the chiyuv, the obligation to burn chametz is not chal yet, he does not make a bracha at all at that time, but a person can only make a bracha, al bir chametz, beginning on the night of Erev Pesach. Then we ask an interesting question. The Rosh actually asked us, why is it that we don't make a bracha shachiyanu at the time we do bidikas chametz? So we answer, since the search is considered to be part of the preparation for Pesach, the shachiyanu for this search is subsumed under the one that he makes on Yontif itself. And this would also explain why one who makes a sukkah or puts together the arba minim does not make a shachiyanu either. Now the Magen Avram says that while the Gemara in sukkah Daf Membav mentions that a shachiyanu is recited when a person builds a sukkah, our minig is not to recite this until Yontif itself. The Rush, however, agrees that one would be permitted if he wants to recite the shachiyanu when he builds the sukkah. So the same thing would apply here. The Rush would agree that if one wants to, he can make a shachiyanu when he makes the bedikas chametz. Then we say that the bracha must be said before the Maisa HaMitzvah. The Amr Rabbi Yehuda Amr Shmuel, Kol HaMitzvahis Mevarech Alehen Oiver LeAsiyosan. A person is mechuyav to make the bracha before doing the mitzvah and not after doing the mitzvah. The only exception to this is Tfilas Ger. By Tfilas Ger we say, but since the Ger cannot say Asher Kiddushanu B'mitzvahis of Vitzivanu, he wasn't mitzuv in it, therefore he makes the bracha afterwards. Once we said, though, that he makes the bracha, we said a lay plug, that all Tfilas do not make the bracha till afterwards. Rashi explains that this extends to all things. Now, what's the logic behind this? Beforehand, he can't make the bracha because of its tzivano. Not only that, because he may change his mind before he makes the tefillah. While a person is in the mikveh, he cannot make a bracha because libay raya es ha'erva. Therefore, according to Tosfos, he mentions that the only time a person can make the bracha is afterwards. Now, today there are two other cases where we make the bracha afterwards, and we do not say Mevarech Alehen Oiver LeAsiyosan. These two cases are Netilas Yadayim and Hadlakas Neiros Shal Shabbos. Netilas Yadayim, we make the bracha afterwards because a person's hands may not be clean before he actually washes them. And Hadlakas Neiros, we say this, that we make the bracha afterwards. That only applies to women, because what happens is if a woman would first make the bracha, at the minute she makes the bracha, Shabbos is already chal. Therefore, she wouldn't be allowed to light anymore. Therefore, we say that first she lights the candles, then she makes the bracha, even not Oiver LeAsiyosan. However, the minhag today is, although a woman does it this way, if a man, for example, ends up lighting Hadlakas Neiros, a man would do it the other way around. A man would do it Oiver LeAsiyosan. So therefore, if a man lights candles Erev Shabbos, first he makes the bracha, then he lights the candles. Mashen ken, a woman first lights the candles, and then makes the bracha. The Gemara then says that it's best to use candles for bedikas chametz. And it mentions the number of makairis for this. The Gemara also says that Or HaChama and Or Levana are not good for bedikas chametz. And the Mishnah Berurah brings down from the Magen Avram that even if you do bedika next to a window using a sunlight, using the light from the sun, this is also no good. Tafches. We say that Avuka, a torch for Havdalah, is mitzvah min amufchar. It's even better to use a torch for Havdalah than to use a candle. Mashenkin by bedika. Bedika is only good with a candle. It is not good to do a bedika with a torch, and the reason for this is very simple. Because with a candle, you're able to see in the little crevices, to be able to see if there's little chametz pieces. Mashenkin with a torch, it would be very hard to be able to do that. We then learn Lamat Tzadikim Daimin Bifnei Shechina. To what are the righteous comparable in the presence of the Shechina? The Gemara says, Kener Bifnei Havuka, like a candle before a torch. Although tzadikim are very, very chashuv, but compared to the Shechina, they're very, very small. The Baal Shem Tov learned from this Gemara the real godless in tzadikim. Their ability to control their Yetzer Hara compared to the way normal people struggle with their Yetzer Hara. And the comparison is as follows. Just as a candle is barely noticeable next to a torch, so too does the Yetzer Hara of tzadikim barely affect what tzadikim end up doing. Tanur Rabbanan, we learned in the Gemara areas that don't need a bedika. This includes holes near the ceiling and the floor, slanted roofs, tops of chests, chicken coops, and storage rooms for straw, wine, and oil. Unless, of course, he normally goes to these places in the middle of a meal to get wine. Then he may come to drop some bread there, and then those places need a bedikah anyway. We then say that shemen yesh kvala achila. Shemen is something which has a kvala achila. Yain ain kvala shtia. Shemen, there are special times when you go to get shemen. Yain, there are no special times. In other words, it's unpredictable when he might go to get yain. Therefore, we have to worry more in areas where we store wine that chametz may have gotten into that area. You then say that if a wall falls on chametz, it's possible that a person has to go check underneath the wall, stick his hand in to see and to be able to find this particular chametz that got stuck under this wall. So the Gemara asks, how can we force a person to put his hand into a hole in a wall? There's a potential sakana. He may be bitten by a snake that's underneath that wall. Amar Rabbi Elazar, impossible. Shliach mitzvah ein nizakin. A person can't get bitten by a snake. Why? Because a person is in the middle of doing a mitzvah b'dikas chametz. Therefore, it's like he's a shliach mitzvah. Therefore, he cannot be hurt at all during the situation while he is the shliach mitzvah. The Sefer Taimi Habin Hagim brings from here the minag of giving shliach mitzvah money to someone who is traveling. And the reason we do this is because if a person is a shliach for someone else to take tzedaka, say for example from Eretz Yisrael to the United States, nothing will happen to them because they're a shliach mitzvah on their entire trip until they get to the United States and they put the money in a tzedaka box. I can still remember a number of years ago, probably the single biggest shliach mitzvah that I was ever involved in was I was in Eretz Yisrael at the beginning of December in one year, which is a very, very slow tourist season. And as typically I usually do, and as a lot of people do when they're in Eretz Yisrael, they put up a sign somewhere, you know, or they mention to people that are going back to the United States if someone wants to send letters. At the beginning of December, there are very few people going back to the United States. When I put up a sign in the Mir Yeshiva in Me'er Sharim, announcing that I was going back in 3 days, dropped the mail and, you know, room number, blank and blank, I took a very large pile of mail. And I remember on the plane back to the United States, I counted 650 pieces of mail. So I felt very, very safe on the plane ride home, knowing that I was a shliach mitzvah probably for a good few hundred people. Probably from this Gemara and a related Gemara, the Gemara in Shabbos on Daf Kuf Nun Vav, we could probably bring a raya from there that not only is shliach mitzvah ein nizakin, but probably ha'oisek the mitzvah ein nizakin. We know this from the case of the kala brought in that Gemara. There was a kala who was getting ready for a wedding, and so were a lot of other people, and an ani came to the door. We know that she was saved from a snake that was about to bite her that was in the wall. She went to tend to this ani, to give the ani tzedakah, and the Gemara says over there, tzedakah tatzil mimavas. But I think from there you can bring a raya, isik b'mitzvah ein nizakin, because she was being isik in the mitzvah tzedakah, nothing happened to her either. The Gemara then says, shluchei mitzvah, this whole inyan of shluchei mitzvah ein nizakin, does not apply if he had kavana for other benefits too. In other words, if a person put his hand in to do bedikas chametz and also to find a needle, he's not necessarily protected because he was in the midst of doing something else also. So the Gemara asks, "I we know how Omer sala zu l'tzdaka b'shvil sheyichya b'ni oishaeheya ben olam haba harehu tzadik omer." If a person gives something for tzdaka, but not for the explicit purpose of tzdaka, but rather that his son should live for a long time, or that he should become an olam haba, that's the only reason he does it. In other words, part of it is for tzdaka, but part of it is for the reward. He's considered a tzadik omer. So what do you see? You see, you can mix business and pleasure. So why are we saying over here that just because he wants to find the needle too, if he happens to be doing a bedika, he's not necessarily protected because he's also looking for the needle? So the Gemara answer is, what we're really afraid of is not that during the time of the bedika he's looking for the needle, but we're afraid that after the bedika he'll stick his hand back in to get the needle. At that point already he's not protected anymore because he finished the bedika. Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak says that a person doesn't have to stick his hand into a wall because of sakana nachrim. We're afraid of the nachrim on the other side of the wall that may come to kill him or to hurt him. Like Plame said, no bedika at all is needed in a case we're afraid of a sakana of nachrim. We then say that the schus of shluchei mitzvah does not apply if the situation is a very dangerous one where people usually get hurt. In other words, a situation of shchiach hezeka. However, we say, once you get the schus for going on your way to do the shliach mitzvah, you're also protected on the return trip. In other words, if you go to the yeshiva to learn, on your way home, you're also protected at night because you're on your way home from learning. Or, for example, your house, while you're going to make aliyah l'regel on your return trip back, during that period of time, not only are you protected, your house is also protected from listim. We see this from the pasuk of Ufanisa Baboiker, the halachta aliyah halacha, as a person returns in the morning from after the aliyah l'regel, everything is also protected. He's protected, and what's in his rishus is protected. Amar Abami, call adam shaleit yesh lei karka aliyah l'regel. Any person who owns karka, he's explaining the parameters of the chiyuv of aliyah l'regel. If a person owns karka, he's mechuyuv to make aliyah l'regel. But if he does not own karka, he's not mechuyuv in aliyah l'regel. This, interestingly enough, Pshat of Rav Ami is not found at all in the Masechta Chagiga, and also the Rambam does not bring it down la halacha either. Am Rabbi Chizda, mipnei ma ein peres genoisar archame tveria birushalayim. How come peres genoisar, which are found in the Galil, or the chame tveria, are not found in Yerushalayim? The Gemara answers, kedei shlo yomru oile regalim ilmole loyalinu ela peres leperes genoisar archame tveria. Yerushalayim, Dayenu. We were afraid that people would say, hey, you know what? I'm going up to Yerushalayim. I went for Aliyah L'regel, but if all I went for was just to get the benefit of Chame Yerushalayim, quote-unquote, so to say, that would have been enough. Dayenu, that would have been fine too. What would come out? Nimtzis Aliyah L'regel, Shalai Lishma. We were afraid it would end up that Aliyah L'regel would not be Lishma. Therefore, there is no Peres Genayser, and there's no Chame Tveria in Yerushalayim. Then the Gemara goes into a detailed explanation of part of the Mishnah, it said, Ubame Amru Beis Shuras al Panei HaMartef, the Machloikis between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, about which parts of the Martef do we actually have to check. And we end up paskening, according to Beis Hillel, Lefi the Shita of Shmuel here in this Gemara, that Beis Hillel requires the two outermost columns of the uppermost row to be searched. Daftes. We have a Mishnah that says, Ein Choshishin Shema Girura Chulda Mibayis Labayis. After the Bedika has already happened, we're not chayshes that maybe a chulda, maybe a weasel is going to go from one house to the other and bring in chametz, or michatz lechatzer. Why? Mishum ein ledaber saif. Because if we're going to be worried about this, ein ledaber saif. I mean, you could go on and on and on worrying about what if this and what if that. Therefore, we don't have to be chayshes for that. The Gemara then says, this is only true if you didn't mamish see a weasel. So you don't sit back and worry, what if a weasel went in or a weasel didn't go in. However, if you actually saw a weasel with chametz in his mouth, then you are mechuyev to make a new bedikah. So the Gemara asks, why don't we assume that he ate it? Just in the same way he took it, maybe he ate it also. So we say that there's a machlokes if a guy can be metama ba'il. If a guy is nifter, we want to know, can a guy be metama ba'il or not? So the Rabbanan say, yes, a guy could be metama ba'il. And Rabbi Shimon Ba'yachai says, no, he can't. However, he can be metama b'maga u'b'masa. And since goyim used to bury premature babies in the house, mamish, right underneath the house, we assume that the house of a guy is tameh. But unless there is a chulda or a chazir in the house. If there's a chulda and a chazir, we assume that the chulda or a chazir would have eaten it up. And we learned this from the Masechta Ayilus. So here too, let's assume that the chulda ate the chametz also. So we answer, this is different. Why? Because meat, a chulda, never leaves over. But bread, a chulda, does leave over sometimes. Also we say here, in this particular case of chametz, we have a case of ein safik maitzim yidei vadei. The safik here is whether the chulda ate it or not. And the vadei here is whether there was chametz. We know that there was chametz. The question is whether he ate it or not. So ein safik maitzi midei vadei. However, in the case of Reb Chanina, we say chazaka al chaver she'ein maitzi tachas yadai davar she'ein amesukin. We say that a chaver who is nifter, we can assume that he probably took off meiser, because a chaver, we assume, always takes off meiser. So this is a case of safik, which is maitzi midei safik. Therefore, if the chaver died, we can assume that he did take off meiser. This is very different from the case before of ein safik maitzi midei vadei. We also discuss a case of a kayan who is involved in tumas mess for a relative. We know in the Gemara in Brachas Dafchaf, Taisvis Lishitase holds, that a kayan can only be metame tumas mess for a relative if it's a tzarech hames, but not stam. And there's a machlekes between Rashi and Taisvis over there. Taisvis holds that tumas krivim legabi a kayan is considered a dechuya. Really it's usar, but we pushed it off. We were daiche, we pushed it off, especially for krivim. Rashi holds tumas krivim for a kayan is hutra. There's no iser at all for a kayan by krivim. Therefore, lechatchila, he could become tameh for a karev, and we don't have to worry about maybe it's l'tzarech, maybe it's not l'tzarech. Then the Gemara gets into details about potential chametz that may or may not be in a house. If we're chayshish for chametz in a house, do we need to do an additional bedika? And we bring down a number of different cases. First case we bring down are, if there are 9 piles of matzah and 1 pile of chametz, and a mouse takes one of the piles, and we don't know which one he took. So the Gemara says this is the same case in Chulin Daf Tzadikay of 9 kosher meat stores and 1 store of its tripe. And a person doesn't remember. He knows he bought meat. He knows he bought meat. He doesn't remember which one he brought from. So we save it at Tzasser. Why? because we say in that case, kol kavua kemechza al mechza dami. Right now, it's a case of kavua, and you don't know where you bought it from. So we say it becomes like 50-50. Kol kavua kemechza al mechza dami, therefore it becomes aser. We don't go basarayv, and we go lachum. However, in a different kind of a case, let's say a pile was actually taken. There are 10 piles. A pile was taken, and we don't know which pile was taken. And then a mouse comes along and takes that pile. In that case, we say lakula, because that's like a case of kol deparish, meruba parish. It's like a case by the 9 stores, but a person didn't remember whether he wasn't sure whether he took it from this store or that store. Rather, we found a piece of meat in the street. We know in that particular area there's 10 stores. 9 of them are kosher, and one of them is treif. Since 9 of them are kosher, one of them is trey, since it's parish, since the piece of meat is already parish from all the stores, then we say lakula, called the parish meat, ruba parish, so the same thing here with the case of the mouse. However, here Tosfos asks a question. How can we compare bedikas chametz, which is midrabanan, to the case of nevela, which is midaraisa? Two different cases, one is midrabanan, one is midaraisa. How can you make a comparison or bring a raya one to the other? So Tosfos answers, the Gemara's question didn't concern whether the house has to be searched or not, which is a dirabanan, but rather on Pesach, this food which is now found in the house, whether you can eat that or not, then already it becomes a deraisa, so you can make a comparison between two cases which are both midaraisa. Daf Yud. The Gemara brings down numerous cases of suffik, both deraisa and derabanan. For example, we bring a case. If there is a road that is tar and a road which is tame, and one man walked one and the other walked the other, and they don't recall who walked where, then they touched taharas. Rabbi Yehuda says if they asked independently, both of them are tar. If they ask the same person, both are tame. Rabbi Yossi says, they're always tame. The Miri brings down, we see from this Gemara, that one safek derabanan is equal to a svek sveka daraisa. We then have a machlekes. What if you put down 9 pieces of chametz and you find 10? Or vice versa. Then the Gemara says, if a mouse went in and you find crumbs in the house, then you have to make another bedika. Why? Since it's not the derech of a mouse to leave crumbs. You have to assume that those crumbs were there from before. Hashem came by a baby. By a baby, if the baby went in, you don't need to check. You don't need to make another bedika. Why? Because it's probably his own chametz that he brought in. Let's say you have bread up in the beams of a house. Does one need to take a ladder in order to remove it? The stadim here are very simple. On one hand, you don't really want to bother him, since he already made a bittel. And since it's all the way up there, he's not going to go up and get it on Yontif, on Pesach. Or maybe it's going to fall down, so we're afraid. If it'll fall down, then he'll want to eat it. Dimtim Salam, we want to be machmer, so how about bread in a pit? For sure, bread in a pit cannot fall up. In other words, gravity can only have something fall downward, but the bread is not going to come up from the pit. Dimtim Salam, and we say, let's say we are machmer. Since he may go down to the pit, what if there's bread in the mouth of a snake? Is he mechuyev to hire a snake expert to get it out? So in all these cases, the Gemara says teiku. The Ritva, along with other Mishainim, bring down that we generally paskin like in Imtim Tzolaymar, brought down in a Gemara. However, here the Machaber says that in the first case, the case of the beams, we paskin lahachmer. And in the second case of the pit, we paskin lakula. But we say that that's only true, according to the Shulchan Aruch Harav, if a person doesn't normally go down to the pit. But if he normally goes down to the pit, then we have to be machmer. We then have a Mishnah. Rabbi Yehuda says, one has 3 chances to do the bedikah. He could do it at night, he could do it in the morning of Erev Pesach, he could do it in the Shas beer, but he cannot do it any later. The Chachamim say he has 4 choices. He can do it at night, he can do it during the day, he could do it Toich HaMayid in the 6th hour, or he could do it Achar HaMayid. This is Lekula. In other words, he could do it all the way till the end of Erev Pesach, but of course he can't do it on Pesach Mamish. The Chachamim go Lekula because they're not afraid that he'll find it and eat it by accident. Rabbi Yehuda is lahachmer because he's afraid that you don't want to do it later in the day because we're afraid you might find it and come to eat it. Daf Yud Aleph. We bring numerous theorists against Rabbi Yehuda who were able to show that you are allowed to work with items even during this Zman HaYisur, and we're not chayshes that a person will come to eat these items. For example, Kemach Chadash Lifnei Karban Omer. We know that the Karban Omer on the second day of Pesach transfers all Chadash to Yashan and makes those items mutter to eat. But even if you work with Kama Chadash before that, we're not afraid, like Rabbi Yehuda says, Baratzen HaChacham Mimasu, so you see you were allowed to work with it. After the Gemara, people normally eat chametz all year. That's why we're so chayshish about chametz. Chadash we're not worried about, because people will be careful. Chadash is not something which is a problem all year, so people are more careful with it than they are with chametz, which is food that they eat all the time. The Gemara also discusses cases of kesher. We know that if a person makes a kesher, shel kayama, he's chayav achatas if he does this on Shabbos. And the Gemara mentions Adam Bahul Al Mamayni, that a person is very careful with his money and panics if something goes wrong with the money that he owns. We then have a Mishnah that discusses exactly when midrabanan we stop eating chametz on Erev Pesach. We know midaraisa, chametz is only aser ba'achila and ba'hana after chatzais. But the Rabbanan were afraid, since there were no watches in those days, that people may come to make a mistake in calculating the zman of chatzais. So they created a safety zone. Incidentally, the hours that we discuss here in the Mishnah, as we typically do in Shas, are Shaos Zmanios. This is where we divide a day into 12. So sometimes, at that particular point of year, it's almost exactly an hour anyway. But for example, during the summer, one of the Shaos Zmanios will be longer than 60 minutes. And during the winter, Shaos Zmanios will be less than 60 minutes. But since Pesach usually falls in April, at that time of the year, the hours are about 60 minutes anyway. So you bring down three sheetahs here in the Mishnah. Rameir says, Eichlin kol chamesh v'sarfin b'tchila sheish. You can eat it for 5 full hours, and then you burn the chametz at the beginning of the 6th hour. Rabbi Yehuda says, Eichlin kol arba, you can eat it for 4 full hours. V'talin kol chamesh, you hold on to it then during the 5th hour, v'sarfin b'tchila sheish. And then we have the sheetah of Rabban Gamliel. Rabban Gamliel says, Chulin ne'achalin kol arba. Chulin, you can only eat for 4 hours. B'truma kol chamesh, b'truma you're allowed to eat for 5 hours, as Rashi explains, because it's osur lahafzid kachim b'yadayim. Because by not eating it, you're being mafzid kachim in a very active way. B'sarfin b'tchila sheish, but he says you do burn everything at the beginning of the 6th hour. We actually paskin like Rabbi Yehuda, bein b'chulin, bein b'truma, that each of those you eat for 4 full hours, b'talin kol chamesh, b'sarfin b'tchilas sheish. Actually, today we burn it during the 5th hour. We then bring down the Gemara in Sanhedrin Daf Dalet. Two people who came to Bezdin to testify on something regarding, for example, capital punishment. Bezdin is Baidik, both of them, separately for consistency. This is from the Pasuk of Vidarashta Vichakarta. And here we have a number of questions where we have to determine whether, if two people are a little bit different in their edus, whether the edus is good or whether the edus is not good. Echad Omer Bishnayim B'chaydish V'yachad Bishleisha. If one person says the maisa that they saw happened on the 2nd day of the month, and one person says the 3rd day of the month, Edusim Kayemis, the edus is considered good, because it's possible one of them didn't know exactly when Rosh Chodesh was. And since one of them may have not found out which day Rosh Chodesh was, it's possible that they could be 1 day off. Echad Bishleishav, Echad Bechomish, Edusim Betela, because it's 2 days off. It's impossible that they made that kind of a mistake. Echad Bishteishaos, one person says the 2nd hour, in other words, 8 a.m. The Echad Bishalish, one person says 9 a.m. Edusim Kayemis, because they could be an hour or 2 off. Echad Shalish, Echad Bechomish. Let's say one person says 9 o'clock, one person says in the 11th, and one person says in the 3rd hour, one person says in the 5th hour. Rameir Betela. Rameir says no good. Rabbi Yehuda says Kayemis. Why is that? It is good. Because people make mistakes over time. And there's an afkamina in terms of how much time people can make mistakes in terms of what hour it was. Echad Chamish v'Echad Sheva. One person says before the noon hour, in other words, in the 5th hour. One person says after the noon hour, in other words, in the 7th hour. Betela. Then it's Batel according to everybody. Why is that? Because it's impossible to make that kind of a mistake. In the 5th hour in the morning, the sun is definitely on the east side of the sky. And in the afternoon, by 1 o'clock in the afternoon, in that hour, the sun is definitely on the west side of the sky. That kind of mistake you couldn't make. So if the two people come with those two different times, it's considered Batel, and the Edus is considered Betela. Daf Yud Beis. Rav Eimer, L'divrei Rav Meir Adam Toya Shtei Shaos Chaser Mashu. According to these sheetahs that we just brought down, according to Rameir, a person can make an hour, a mistake up to 2 hours minus a minute. L'divrei Rabbi Yehuda, Adam Taya, Shalosh Chaser Mashu. A person can make a mistake that's up to almost 3 hours long. We then bring down, there are 7 chakiras that we ask Edom to see if the two of them match. What are the 7? Be'ezah Shavua, Shana, Chaydish, Kama B'chaydish, which day of the month? And as we asked them about which year of Shemitah it was, which year it was, which week it was, which chaydish it was, what month in the chaydish. Then we ask him, Yaim, which day of the week it was, Shah, what time of day it was, and Makam, the place that it happened. And we also ask them not only chakiras, we ask them bedikas. Bedikas are, for example, types of questions like, what were the color of the victim's clothing? So we say, Ma ben chakiras le bedikas? What's the difference between a chakira and a bedika? Chakiras, achar eme en yadea. If one person says in a chakira, I don't know, edus in betela, it's considered completely edus batel. So these Edom are considered puzzle. Why is this so? The reason it's considered puzzle is because now the lack of one of the two answers makes this Edus She'iata Yochel Lahazima. We know that there's a special mitzvah in the Torah, there's a special inyan in the Torah to create a situation by Edom that they have to have a fear of potentially becoming Zaymimin. How do they become Zaymimin? If other people come along and say, you couldn't have known, you couldn't have seen this happening because you were with us. You were with us at that time. Now, if one of these Edim do not know, for example, what day of the week it was, that creates a situation where it's Iyata Yochel Azima, and they cannot become Edom Zayimim anymore, therefore it's Mevatel all the Edus. But Bedikas, Afilu Shneihem Maimrim Layedim, Edusin Miskayamas. But by Bedikas, even if both of them say they don't know the answer to that question, it's considered Miskayim. The Gemara then asked, according to Rabbi Yehuda, why don't we force a person to stop Chametz 3 hours before Chatzais? Since he says people can err up to 3 hours, so let them stop that early. So we answer, the Darais is only from Chatzais. Therefore, all this is, this whole thing is only Gzera anyway. That far we were in Geyser. So then we ask, so then why not let him eat till Chatzais? So we answer, we know that Rabbi Yehuda holds a person knows the difference between before and after Chatzais, since the sun is on different sides of the sky. Abaya says that the difference between the different types of Edus, since people, when it comes to Edus, people are very, very careful because it's a life and death kind of situation. But chametz is for the general public. Chametz everybody eats all the time. Therefore, it's more likely for people to make a mistake. And Rava says the reason we don't let a person go all the way out to Chatzais is gzera mishum yom ha'ma'unin. We're afraid it's going to be a cloudy day. People are not going to be able to see whether the sun is up there or not. Therefore, we're chayshish for that. Therefore, we say we have to allow a special period to make sure that people don't make that kind of a mistake. Daf Yud Gimel. Arba asar shachal yais b'Shabbos. If the 14th day comes out on Shabbos, Ma'avirin esakol livnei Shabbos. What we do is we burn all the chametz before Shabbos. U'misharin mazin shtei sudas k'day le'echol adal chayis. We say you hold onto shtei sudas. You can have one of the sudas Friday night, and one of the sudas you can eat before the fourth hour of the day. Now the question is, what about shalosh sudas? We know that a person is mechuyev to eat shalosh sudas. So what does he do? If we're saying we're only allowed to have enough for two sudas, what does he do? So we have a number of different shitas here. The Torah brings down, but since the meal, Shabbos meal, this shalosh sudas that we're talking about is eaten after mincha, a person can be mekayim this by eating fruit. Rabbeinu Tam says, a person can be mekayim it by eating matzah shira. The Chaber says that if a person eats matzah made with fruit juice, in other words, matzah shira, he has to do this before the 10th hour. The Rama says that a person can eat this shalosh sudas with fruit, meat, or fish. The Magen Avraham brings down the best date. So he says that one can fulfill this third meal by dividing the second meal into two parts. In other words, he eats a little bit, then he makes a birkas hamazon, then he washes again for the second meal. And the Mishnah Berurah points out that when a person actually does this, he has to be very careful to separate these two components, these two parts of the meals, by waiting a little bit of time between the two meals. So he won't potentially come to be over a bracha she'ena tzricha. We bring that an interesting zayar in Parashas Emor, that says that Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai used to study Maisa HaMerkava in place of Shalosh Sudas. Given his knowledge and his chashivas, Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai was able to accomplish, through his learning, he would understand exactly what the Shalosh Sudas was, and through the learning, he was able to be Mekayim in the mitzvah of Shalosh Sudas. This is probably where the minig today came from, that certain people, instead of eating by Shalosh Sudas, they learn by Shalosh Sudas. That's probably where this minig came from the Zayar, the Gabi Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai. We then say Kvar Muftach Lahem Li Yisrael She'en El Yahu Ba Bi Erbe Shabbosus Ube Erev Yantiv Bnei HaTereach. We know that El Yahu Anavi cannot come on Erev, cannot come on Erev Shabbos and Erev Yantiv because of Tircha. And then we say Reb Chanina says because Karban Toidas contain Chametz, they are not brought on Erev Pesach, but many of them are brought on the 13th of the month of Nisan. That's why many of them become Pasul. And in fact, this is interesting why we don't say Mizmor Lasod on Erev Pesach, because the Karban Toida was not brought on Erev Pesach. Daf Yodal. Here we begin the sugya of Rab Chanina Sgan HaKaihanim. Since these next few blot discuss many halachas of Tumah and Tahara, it is appropriate at this point to give a brief hakdama to the basic yisoides of Tumah and Tahara. We know that the worst type of Tumah is Tumas Mes, is a mess, is a person who's dead. That is called an Avi Avois HaTumah. If a person or a Keli touches a mess, that person or a Keli becomes an Av HaTumah. Additionally, there are other things which are automatically considered an avatuma. These include a dead sheretz, a nevela, a zav, zava, nida, or mitzera. These are each called an av hatuma. If something touches an avatuma, it becomes a rishon latuma. If something touches a rishon latuma, it becomes a shein latuma, and so on. If something touches a shein latuma, it becomes a shlish latuma. And if something touches a shlish latuma, it becomes a ravi latuma. So a ravi latuma is as far as it goes. However, not everything can go as far as a ravi latuma. Adam v'kelim can only be avi avais hatuma, av hatuma, or rishon latuma. These cannot be any lower than a rishon latuma. In other words, midaraisa, adam v'kelim cannot become a shein latuma. Eichlin u'mashkin, which I refer to as chulin, can never be an av hatuma. They begin at rishon latuma. and they can only go from a Rishon L'Tuma and become a Sheni L'Tuma. But they stop there. After Sheni L'Tuma, they cannot become a Shlishi or a Vi, and they're considered Tar. Truma can go as far as a Shlishi L'Tuma. Once it becomes a Shlishi L'Tuma, it becomes what we call Pasul, but it cannot go further than a Shlishi L'Tuma. And finally, Kachim can go as far as Revi'i L'Tuma. If you want a good mnemonic device to remember all these Tumas, just remember the word Aleph, Ches, Tof, Kuf, Ach, Tak. What does this refer to? Adam V'Kelim, which is the Aleph, can only go as far as Rishon L'Tuma. Ches, which is referring to Chulin, can only go as far as Shein L'Tuma. Tof, which refers to Truma, can only go as far as Shlishi L'Tuma. And Kuf, which refers to Kachim, can only go as far as Revi'i L'Tuma. This is Ach, Tak. Now, since Av HaTuma and Av Yabais HaTuma can be Metama Adam V'Kelim, they are known as a Tuma Chamura. Alternatively, anything below this, in other words, something which is a Rishon or a Sheni, those are known as Tuma Kalas. And a Tuma Kala is also known as a Vlad HaTuma, since it's like a child of the Av HaTuma. So you have an Av HaTuma, which is Av HaTuma or Av Yabais HaTuma. Something below that, a Rishon Sheni Shlishi, is known as a Vlad HaTuma. So much for all the general expressions. Now let me point out that there are also some special exceptions to these rules. Number one, before we said that Adam V'Keli cannot be Mekabel Tuma from a Rishon L'Tuma. In other words, they can only go as far as Rishon L'Tuma, but cannot become a Sheni L'Tuma. The exception here is a Keli, which can be Mekabel Tuma, Midirabanan, from a Mashka. That is a Rishon L'Tuma. This is one of the Yud Ches Dover, brought down in Masech to Shabbos, Yud Gimel, that the reason that something can be Mekabel Tuma from a Mashka is because of the Gzera Mishum Mashke Zav Zav. We'll discuss this later on Daf Yutas. Second of all, also Midrabanan, Mashkin, which touched any level of Vlad HaTuma, even, for example, a Shlishi L'Tuma, they revert all the way back to a Rishon L'Tuma. And finally, a metal Keli, which touches a mess, which touches an Aviyah Vais HaTuma, this does not drop a level and become an Avatuma, but rather it becomes also an Aviyah Vais HaTuma. We learn this from the Pasuk of Bachalal Cherev. Cherev Harehu Kecholot. The cherev, which is a sword, which is touching the chol, which is a dead body, it becomes just like the chol, and it becomes also an aviyah vayis hatumah. Our Mishnah discusses if we are allowed to burn basar kachim shenitma betuma kala together with basar kachim, which was a nitma betuma chamura. We know that there's a pasuk in Parshas Korach, which says, "Vani hine nasati lacha es mishmeres trumaisai." Truma must be washed carefully so it remains tar and does not become tummy. So we have in the Mishnah, Reb Chanina Skan HaKaihanim Aimer. Who was the Skan HaKaihanim? What is it that the Skan HaKaihanim did? He did three things. Number one, he was the assistant to the Kayan Gadol. Number two, he backed up the Kayan on Yom Kippur. If the Kayan would become Pasul on Yom Kippur, he would act as the Kayan, sort of like the vice president. And number three, he was the director of all the other Kayanim. So we say, Mimeyam Shal Kayanim lo nim numer lisrafes habasar shenitma bevlat hatuma im habasar shenitma ba'avatuma afal pesha maisifin tuma al tumase. The Kayanim, they didn't hesitate to burn basar shlishi l'tuma together with Basar, which was a Rishon L'Tuma. So now the Shlishi would move up to a Sheni L'Tuma, and it would become more Tamei, seemingly, which would be Mevatel, the mitzvah of Mishmeres, but they did this anyways. Not only that, Rabbi Akiva added an even bigger Chiddush by a Tvul Yom. A Tvul Yom is someone who was Tamei, who went to the mikveh that day. Until nightfall, he's considered a Sheni L'Tuma. When he touches Shemen Truma, the Shemen becomes a Shlishi L'Tuma. Remember, the Truma can become a Shlishi L'Tuma. The Kahanim didn't hesitate to use the Shlishi oil together with a wick that touched a metal menorah, which touched a mace. And because of the Pasuk of Bachal Al-Kherev, this menorah now becomes an Aviyah Vais HaTuma, which means that this wick, which touched this menorah, becomes an Av HaTuma. So when the Shemen joins up with the wick, it goes all the way from a Shlishi L'Tuma to a Rishon L'Tuma. So we see that even though we're Maisif and Tuma Al-Tumasai, they allowed it anyway. So Rabbi Hanina's case was a case where a Shlishi L'Tuma became a Sheni L'Tuma, and Rabbi Akiva's case was a case where a Shlishi L'Tuma became a Rishon L'Tuma, even a bigger Kish. Now we continue further on in the Mishnah, and Rameir said, according to Rameir, he brings down, we learn from this, Hesharfin Truma Toharim Imatmea the Pesach. In other words, speaking about Erev Pesach, even though a Truma of Chametz Tahira does not become Aser Ba'achila B'Shashishis only Midrabanan, still in all, we say it's mutter to burn this together with Truma Tamea, and to be Metama, this Truma Tahira. How do we know this? Because we learned this from Chanina Rabbi Akiva, that you could take something and be Maisif Tuma Al-Tumasai. Just like we saw you can be Maisif Tuma Al-Tumasai. Here we could say we could take something which is Tahar and make it Tameh by burning it together on Erev Pesach, together which is something which is already Tameh. Amalei Rabbi Yaisi, Ein Hi Amida. No, you can't compare these two. Why not? Because when we talk about Maisif Tumal Tumas, I like the case of Rabbi Hanina and Rabbi Akiva, we're only being Maisif on something which is already Tame. But you can't learn from this that you could take Truma Tahira and mix it with Truma Tameya, because you're taking something which is Tahara and you're making it Tame. How can you compare the two? And actually, we end up paskin like Rabbi Yossi, that Ein Sarfin Truma Tahira, Im Truma Tameya on Erev Pesach. Then Rabbi Yossi is Maisif on this, and he speaks about the Machlaikas between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua. What are they referring to? Rabbi Yossi adds on this that even though we paskin, that Sarfin Zula Atzma and Zula Atzma, but on Erev Pesach, we do not burn the two together, but rather we burn each two of them separately. So what's the machlokes between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua? Rabbi Eliezer says, if there's a question on Tuluya, which is Truma, which we're not sure whether it's Tamei or not, in this case, Rabbi Eliezer holds, even if it is a Suffolk, you still have to burn them separately, because we pass in like Rabbi Yossi, where if we are sure, we burn them separately, so even in a case where we're not sure, we still burn them separately. Rabbi Yeshua holds, Shteyam Kachas, in a case of Suffolk, you could burn both of them together. Why? Since there's a Suffolk, you don't have to be machmer that much in a case of a Suffolk, and the case of Mishmeres, you don't have to take on a case of Suffolk. You don't have to extend it all the way to a case of a Suffolk. Therefore, if there's a Suffolk, you could burn them together. You do not have to be Machmer. Now the Gemara. Food that is a Rishon L'tumah cannot be Metama other Eichlin to become a Shein L'tumah. Only Mashke can do this. Ein Eichel Metama Eichel. This rule applies only to Chulin, because the Pasuk says Tameh Hu. But by Truma and Kachem, an Eichel can be Metama other Eichlin. In the Rabbanon, we say even by Chulin, Eichel can be mitama other Eichel, and surely, of course, by Truman Kachem this applies, because this applies even midaraisa by Truman Kachem. We then discuss the case of Rabbi Akiva. The shaman that was pasul from the Tful Yom is a shlishi, and the lamp was a ner matechas, so the candelabra becomes an avatuma, bachalal cheref, as we learned before. So the ner is a rishon latuma, and the chiddush here is that the shaman, which is a shlishi, becomes a rishon, and we say that it's okay to do this lachatchila and elevate the level of tuma. It's okay to be maisif tuma al tumase. Taf tesvav. According to Rabbi Yossi, you can't compare the case of Rabbi Hanina to Erev Pesach, since by Rabbi Hanina both were already Tamit, but on Erev Pesach, one was still Tar. We then have a machlekes at the end of the Mishnah about Mishmeres. Does this apply to Safek Tuma, regarding Truma? Rabbi Eliezer says yes, and Rabbi Yeshua says, since it's Halach Ibud eventually anyways, in other words, after 6 hours, it'll be Aser because of Chametz Midaraisa, so you're allowed to burn them together, and there's no Shaila of Mishmeres. The Gemara rejects the Svara in Rabbi Yeshua, and the Gemara says, because you're ruining it biyadayim, therefore you can't necessarily do it that way. We bring a raya from the following case. Hapigul v'hanoyser v'hatamei, Beishamai says, ein nisrafim kachas, u'beisil oimrim nisrafim kachas. But even according to Beisil, you're only allowed to burn them together if they are already tamei. But you can't ruin them biyadayim. In other words, this is like the case of Erev Pesach, where since it's tar, you're not allowed to do it biyadayim. The maskana of the Gemara is, midivrayim according to Rameir, is that since by the sixth hour, it'll be haylech l'ibud anyways, so you're allowed to be metame even via dayim, and burn the truma tahira together with the truma tameya even in the fourth hour. And Rabbi Yossi, who is actually who we paskin like, he will be mitre that after the sixth hour, however, that it's mutter to burn via dayim, and it's okay to burn the tame with the tar, since chametz at that point is aser midaraisa. So basically, it comes out the Gemara paskins that the machlekes between Rabbi Yossi and Rameir is as follows: Rameir holds mashkin can be metame eichlin only midarabanan. So therefore, in the sixth hour, we can burn Truma Tahira together with Truma Tameya. But according to Rabbi Yossi, which is how we paskin like, Mashkin, are Metama Eichlin, actually Midaraisa. Therefore, you cannot burn them together in the sixth hour.
Daf Tesayin. In Vayikra, Perek Yud Aleph, Pasuk Lamed Gimel. Your Pasuk, this is V'chol Kli Cheres Asher Yipol Mehen Al Toichai, Kol Asher B'Sachi Yitma, referring to a Sheretz, that a Kli Cheres becomes a Rishon L'Tuma when a Sheretz gets in there, and all inside of it becomes Tame. Any solid food in this keli becomes a shein of the tuma. What is this referring to? There's a number of pshatim. Pshat number one. If any mashke in this keli is in it, the mashke becomes tame, but the mashke cannot be metame anything else. This is the shita of Rabbi Lazar and Rabbi Meir. Then we have the shita of Rabbi Yehuda. He reads the word yitame, and he used this word to tell you that this mashke can be metame other things also. So we have a raya that mashke can be metame a keli and eichle, even midaraisa. Third pshat is the pshat of Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Shimon, who learns yitma, that teaches us that midaraisa, a mashke, can be metame eichle, but it cannot be metame keli. We then bring down mashkim base mitbachaya. This is a case of Yossi ben Yezer ish Tzreda. He says that the mayim and the dam, which are on the floor of the slaughterhouse in the base Hamigdash, they were tahar, and they cannot be mekabel tuma. Why is this? Because of hefsid kachin. So we were mekel by that. Tafyud zayin. Hektish can only go as far as revi'i latuma. There is no such a thing as a chamishi latuma. The one that says that kohanim hayobikiyin betumas meis ve'ein bikiyin ein betumas sharetz. We then say midaraisa, you can be tayable small kalim in water from the ground, as long as there's at least a revius. However, we know that a person needs arbaim sa in order to be tayable. But midarabanan, you cannot use this kula of revius at all. Therefore, mayim that is less than a revius can be mekabel tuma, but more than a revius cannot. This is since the shear of tuma is dependent on if it can be used for a mikvah or not. And midarabanan, up to 40 sa can be mekabel tuma. This is the shita of Rashi. Tosfos brings a raya from here that a mikvah of mayim she'uvim, which is pasal, is only pasal midarabanan. However, we know the shita of Rashi in Baba Kama daf Samach Zayin Amid Beis is that a mikvah with mayim she'uvim is pasal midaraisa. Finally, we say if a sharet touches either the inside or the outside of a kli, it is tomei midaraisa, and the whole kli, in fact, becomes tomei. But mashkin, which is midarabanan, in this case, there are some differences exactly what it can be mitame and what it can't be. Daf Yud Chas. V'nosan alav mayim chayim el keli. This teaches us that we put ashes of the paraduma into water. This mixture now becomes an avatuma. We know this from the pasuk of v'hanegev mehanida yechabes begadav. Now, what happens if a cow drinks this mechatas water, and now the cow dies? So here we have a machlekes. The Tanakhama says the flesh of this dead cow that drank it becomes rishon l'tuma. Rabbi Yehuda says that once the cow drank it, it's like hesach hadas, therefore it's pasal, and therefore the flesh isn't tumah. We also have other pshat in Rabbi Yehuda that says the meat is considered a tuma kala, or is considered a sheni l'tuma, and the Gemara says that this Mishnah was chesure nechsura. The one that says, Bayayim, on the day that they removed Rabban Gamliel from the Nasius, and they made Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah the new Nasius, we learned the Gemara and Brachas, there was a policy at that point that anyone could come into the Beis Medrash. On that day, Darash Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva made the following drasha. V'chol klicheres asher yipol mehem mitaycha. If a sheretz goes into the avir of a klicheres, it becomes tamei even without touching the klicheres. This, of course, is a chumrah, because normally we know something to become tamei, it has to be touched by it. The sheretz becomes an avatuma, is the avatuma, and the kli cheretz becomes a rishon l'tuma. And eichlin within the kli, even if it doesn't touch the kli at all, becomes a shein l'tuma. And these eichlin can then make mashkin into a shlishi l'tuma. We then say dialova min adin liyos kenad. Something that we learn from a kal v'chomer can be as strong as the makar, in other words, the thing that you learn from the kal v'chomer, but not stronger than it. This is referring to transferring of tuma. We then say that the first yitma in the pasuk teaches us that food can make mashka tame. But of course, the food cannot be metama, a kli. It's interesting to note that liquid, legabi the halachas of tuma, is stronger than food, since liquid is instantly susceptible to tuma, whereas food becomes susceptible only after first coming into contact with liquid. We know that something which is food has to be mukhsho lekabel tuma via being touched by some sort of a mashke. One of the seven mashkas, yad, shachat, dam. We then say that a person who is tame has to do three things. Number one, he has to be taiva. Number two, he needs harav shemesh. And number three, for certain types of tuma, zav, mitzera, and yaledas, he also needs a carbon, which is called kapara. You need number one, tefillah, in order to eat meiser. You need number two, harav shemesh, in order to eat truma. And you need number three, kapara, a carbon, in order to eat kachim. The Gemara then says that chulin can only go as far as a sheni latuma. Rabbi Akiva holds, chulin can go as far as a shlish latuma. However, everyone holds that truma can go as far as a shlish l'tuma, and kachim can go as far as revi'i l'tuma. And all these different things I learned from different kal v'chomers, and there's a lot of them, and it's very complex. Daf Yud Tes. We say that if a sheretz touches some food, all other food in the keli becomes tamei also. And we say this regarding tuma, ha-keli mitzaref koma shebeseche. This halacha only applies by hektish, not by truma. There's a machlekes here. Where we say that this applies, Rav Chanan says this halacha is midaraisa, that it's mitzaref, because he learns this from the pasuk of kaf achas meleya keteris, and Rabbi Yochanan says it's only midarabanan. Here the Gemara brings a number of gzeras. First gzera the Gemara says is that yodayim shniyim heim. A person's hands are automatically considered a sheni l'tuma. The second halacha the Gemara brings is ein tumas yodayim v'migdash. This halacha that we said before, that yodayim are considered shniyim, this does not apply in the Beis HaMikdash. And finally, the Gemara brings one of the chumras of Yud Chesedavar found in Masechta Shabbos. But Avol Min HaTorah Kelim can only be Mekabel Tumah from an Avat Tumah, not from a Mashka, which is, for example, a Rishon LaTumah. The Midah Rabbanan Kelim can be Mekabel Tumah from a Rishon if it is a Mashka. This is a Gzera Mishum Mashka Zava Zava. Since the Zava Zava is an Av, and liquid from them is also an Av, we said Loi Plug, that all liquids can be Metama Keli, no matter what its status is. The Gemara then says there were certain Gzeras Sofik Tumas that we said. However, in Yerushalayim, many of these Sofik Tumas Gzeras were waived, so as not to waste a lot of potential kachin. We then bring down a case of two different ramps that were in Yerushalayim leading down to the mikveh. One going down and one going up. And we say, Kol ha-kelim ha-nimtzayim b'Yerushalayim derech yirida, lebeis ha-tfila, tmeim, hadyama tahirim. Kelim that were found on the ramp going down, those were considered tmeim, because they were probably on their way down to being dipped into the mikveh in order to be matahir them. But any other kelim were considered tahir. Bechalal cherev, as we said before, harehu kecholol, something that is metallic that touches a mace, is considered just like the mace, and is considered an avi avayis ha-tumah. We then say, kol tzafek tumah b'rshus harabim tahir, the kol tzafek tumah b'rshus hayachid tamei. This is learned from Saita. When we're at the Shas HaSafik regarding a Saita, we say that she's asr to her husband, the Torah calls it Tuma. So we extend this to all Safik Tumas. Any time there's a Safik Tuma, it's considered Tameh. This only applies, however, that Safik Tuma is considered Lachumra in a Rishus Hayachid. Since the whole thing of Saita, the Mises Nus, only happens in a private place, so therefore the Safik Tuma applies only in a Rishus Hayachid. But in a Rishus Harabim, where this doesn't apply, we would go Lakula. So the Azara, the Beis HaMikdash, which is considered a Rishus Harabim, so many of the Safik Tumas related to Shechitas Kachim are considered Lakula, because it's considered a public place. Taf Chaf. Sheretz HaNimtza B'Taner, a sheretz which is found in an oven, HaPas HaShabaseichai Shnia, is considered a Sheni L'Tuma, because the sheretz is an Av, the Taner is considered a Rishon, and the Pas is considered a Sheni. We then say that a Keli can only be Mekabel Tuma from an Av, but never from a Rishon. We then bring down that Rabbi Yeshua says that on Erev Pesach it's okay to burn Tluya, which is Safik, together with Tmeya. Why? Because it's Halach L'Ibrut anyway. But that's only with a Grama. Otherwise you're being Metana B'Yadayim, and you'd be Mevatel, the Inyan of Mishmeres. We then bring down an Afkamina between cases of Hefsid Meruba and Hefsid Mu'at, talking about Shemen. We say Chaviz Shel Yayin V'Shel Truma Shenitmas. Beis Shammai says Tishafek, you have to pour it out. But Beis Hillel says Tasa Ziluf, you should make wine spray for the house. And finally we say Kizayis Truma Shenotho L'Seich Nea Chulin Mutar L'Echoba. If a Kizayis of Truma falls into 100 Kizayisim of Chulin, it is mutter to eat from it because it is considered Batal B'Meah. This marks the end of the first parak of Masechta Pesachim. And on this point we will conclude our shiur.